Welcome to Cabin Boy Minute, minute 79. In this minute, we continue to roll through the below-the-line credits for an above-the-line movie. Get ready to set sail on Cabin Boy Minute, minute 79.
Boy, minute 79.
Whoa.
One away. Wow. Just wow. In this minute, there's more words. White words with black background scrolling.
So many credits, so many people to be credited. All these folks who had no idea what the fuck they were involved with, what the hell was going on, and were probably just happy to collect a paycheck and go home.
But we will keep their legacy alive, nonetheless.
At least a few of them.
Some of them. We're going to talk a little bit now about our process. This here Cabin Boy Minute podcast.
Ooh.
Is I know as you guys must be, and our fans must be, we're reflective over this journey that we've all been on for, 20 months or so, something like that, over a year and a half.
9 days.
That long already? All right, so we're going to just get to some questions here.
Let's do it.
As we know, on each episode, we come up with who won the scene. So we're going to start off here. Who won the podcast?
I'm going to take a page from Todd Robert Anderson. When the great and funny Todd Robert Anderson was on our show, we came up to who won the scene. And his first response was him. He won the scene. Because he got to watch someone throw beer cans at Nathaniel. He's like, how could you not win that? So in that vein, our dear listeners have won the podcast because they got to experience the wit, the erudition, the depth of thought and analysis that we've provided them and that presumably they have enjoyed if they've made it this far.
Well, I mean, how thoughtful, humble, and selfless of you. My answer for who won the pod, I did, clearly. This was my idea in the first place. It was my execution, my countless hours editing, securing interviews, keeping you all accountable.
Oh, how humble.
That being said, I couldn't do it without you.
I can't disagree with anything you said.
I also went with Brian based on everything you just said. Yeah, the insanity that it took to run this whole thing is more than I'll ever know.
Exactly.
You know the most. So next question. Was the podcast funny or not funny?
I mean, I found it funny doing it. For the last year and a half, it was hilarious. Whether or not the actual listeners find our episodes funny or not funny is not up to them, as far as I'm concerned. I think the podcast is funny.
Yeah, I mean, I say the podcast is funny. In all sincerity, I mean, I know it's hard to evaluate oneself, I get it. I do think the podcast holds up. I think we created and crafted for what we had some quality programming. Overall, much like when we were talking about Cabin Boy the movie, if you like look at it as art or through the lens of something like Dadaism, you know, it takes on this new kind of understanding. I feel like our podcast in the proper context, what I was attempting to do with that second trailer, we are very self-aware of how absurd this is And if you can kind of buy into the fact, like, not only am I listening to a 40-hour plus podcast on Cabin Boy, but, like, I am sitting here, like, on minute 41 on the 22nd minute of this particular podcast listening about how the fucking mimeograph was made or some shit. Like, that has nothing to do with anything. It's just an exercise in absurdity. So, it, like, in that kind of context, it's fucking funny. Yes. So if you listen to it for that absurdity of what it is and the fact this exists, rather than looking to learn or find out the best parts of the movie or some sort of insight or something, like, the idea itself is funny. And the fact that we have executed it is funny.
I agree. That said, if we evaluated the pod in the same way we did the movie, minute-by-minute analysis as to whether the podcast was funny, I think overall we would have the podcast land as not funny, just under the bar of funny. But that is if you are considering it in the context of every other movie podcast, comedy podcast, shit like that out there. If we want to grade ourselves on the curve of having no fucking idea what we were doing and having no prior experience whatsoever, and as you were just describing, just the general concept as being completely ridiculous in that context, the podcast is funny.
So if you'll sign off on these 900 caveats, the podcast is funny. And again, in the same token, it's kind of like, you know, asking us to say whether the movie itself is funny or not. You know, I mean, we're too in bed with it already. But you're right. If you don't know the movie, or even if you superficially know the movie and don't love the movie, you're not going to make it.
Yeah. I think it's similar to, you know, the way I describe the movie now when you know, if this podcast comes up and I'm talking to somebody about it, they're like, oh, I need to watch that movie, huh? And I'm always like, whoa. If you've got the brain where it's going to hit you just right, and not everybody has it, then you'll dig it. It would not surprise me if this podcast falls into that, where it's like, if your brain is kind of wired the right way, you will dig the ridiculous shit that we've done. But it's not for everyone.
Yeah, like on that same to the people that I've talked to, you know, oh yeah, well, I should watch it and then listen to the podcast. Yeah, it's like, I don't think it works like that.
This is not a casual investment here. You got to be committed to the bit.
Okay, so do you have something for us for an overall gags per minute winner?
I do, in fact. So, as those of you who have made it this far know, at the end of almost every minute, after we calculate a gags per minute, we crown a winner for the person who came closest to the average gags per minute for that minute. This actually began way back in minute 20 when we had Chad Opitz on. And at the end, it was casually tossed out that because Chad was the one who was closest to the average gags per minute, he had won a 5-pound box of macadamia nuts. It's kind of tossed out there generally. And then in minute 27, the death of Kenny, we awarded our first official GPM prize where, Brian, you won a life ring for being closest to the average. And then in every episode since then, we have awarded a prize to the person who is closest to the average gags per minute for that minute.
Thank you for that bit of Cabin Boy Minute history. And as well as thank you for championing this gags per minute shtick. It really was a storehouse of many funny bits that continued on through the episode. So thank you.
I went back through when I was doing all my calculations here. I listened to every who won the scene, every GPM calculation, every funny, not funny across all the episodes, and crack it up time and time again, especially from the gags per minute stuff. There was just some ridiculous shit in there.
Is there a prize for the overall winner? Just to be clear.
Yes.
Oh, okay. Just want to know how excited I should be.
Okay. Brian, you are our overall gags per minute winner with 15 solo wins and 22.83 total wins.
The goat, Cabin Boy Minute. Congratulations.
You are a winner. And what you win is a Cabin Boy poster, authentically signed by the great and bashful Chris Elliott. Congratulations. It's in the mail. You should get it by the end of the week.
No, you're fucking with me.
No, not at all.
That is amazing. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Congratulations.
Get my glass eye fogging over. Well, that's fantastic. Thank you so much. How beautiful.
Congrats. I hope you enjoy it. And good job just nailing the evaluation of this movie. Clearly, you have just the feeling of the movie is just in your brain precisely.
Courses through my veins, through my bladder. All right, so we got Best Cabin Boy Minute Episode. So my Best Cabin Boy Minute Episode that I had was Minute 35, The Donkey Sale. It's funny, when you flash the gags per minute graph, it kind of coincides almost exactly with how I feel about the podcast. It was somewhere around, well, I mean, really around like minute 20. I feel like by minute 20 with Chad, we got our sea legs. And then there's that chunk around here where he's on the raft and the donkey sail, the cupcake and all that stuff where I just feel like we were really in full swing. And then, I do think that as the movie started to tail, you know, the podcast, I still feel like the podcast held up, but somewhere around the mid-50s or so, kind of the magic was a little gone.
Yeah, it started scuffling a bit at that point.
But it does kind of correlate almost exactly with the GPM graph, so that's mm-hmm. kind of funny to see.
So for my best episode, I decided that it was a tie between Chad's first episode and the Todd Robert Anderson episode. It was just so nice to record with people who were actually funny.
Fuck you.
Nice. What a touching moment, bro.
You're welcome.
I went with minute 33. I think that's the one where they're letting out the rope. And I feel like there was just something about that episode. I feel like I hit a stride there, and I think we all like really started our groove in and around that episode. And I just remember that one being really good.
Yeah, I remember you really getting into the whole rope calculations.
Yeah.
All right, so we got a most memorable moment in the podcast. This might have been the same episode of the donkey sale. Some of my favorite parts of the podcast were when we were correlating the movie with Dadaism.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And in particular, Robert's soliloquy on Dadaism with comparing Nathaniel with, I forget exactly the gist of it, but, you know, the bourgeois capitalistic society, and the first thing he thinks to turn to is capitalism and selling housewares. And it's really good. Like I had it as a trailer for a little. I was going to do that as the trailer because I do think that kind of sums up what I hope the podcast to be for people, that it's just like absurd analysis. And that little soliloquy that you had really summed up for me what this podcast means.
Yeah. There were so many insane things that came up that were inspired by this, by what we were doing here. But in those moments of just, you know, that's it. We're taking the safeties off and going with it. You know, that was the stuff that really, it's like, you know, I'll bring it up again later, but like your cupcake poetry.
Mm.
That's it, man. It's just like, all right, let's go. Let's go for it. Let's just take this down the craziest path we could possibly think of. And my memory is complete fucking garbage. So, you know, it was tough to pick out a memorable moment, but there was all kinds of wonderful things all strung throughout.
Yeah, I definitely had difficulty trying to think of a memorable, most memorable moment. Just every weekend kind of blurs together. And I just, there's so many moments where we're just laughing hysterically and we're not really like talking. We've just lost it. And you know, those are my favorites.
I mean, certainly the sconsosity stuff had a lot of legs. That was fun. Like anytime we really went to those, you know, like the squash Illuminati. Like, I love all that kind of shit where we just really keep doubling down on the same. Well, back to the cupcake bit. One of the funny moments was when I was talking about big, beautiful women and you guys, where is this going? I was just like, you know, kind of uncomfortable saying it as well. And then you guys were just like, what the hell is he talking about?
Oh, yeah, we went off on muffin tops.
Muffin tops.
Like, that's the kind of conversation, you know, we're going deep into what the difference of a cupcake and just a mini cake is.
I think those are candies. No, it's an apple. What?
Yeah, I mean, there are times, like, walking off of the podcast, just feeling like I'm, like, in a different world or something. Like, it took a little time to transition back into reality, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely had there a few days where it's like I'd get out of here and like Shannon would want to do something or something like that. I'm like, okay.
I'm not stable right now.
I'll try. See what I can do.
There is overlap here, I guess. Most insane moment. I mean, there's quite a few, but I think we talked about them all already. The Gonsosity bit was pretty insane. You mentioned the cupcake Dada. Poem.
Cupcake Poetry takes it for me.
Didn't you write some songs too?
I did write a song.
Cupcake Poetry, or I think it was when you came up with your own seven contradictions, was it?
Yes, the seven contradictions of Zaripa.
That was one of those ones where I was like, wow, that's impressively crazy.
Yeah, I mean, even after the recording, you guys were just like, wow. That was crazy.
That was good stuff.
The hairiness scale. What was that one?
Oh, Fermagawe. FG score.
That's fun.
Like we suggested, like doing a Fermin Galway minute podcast or evaluating movies on a Fermin Galway score.
Yeah, I was impressed at how much legs that had. That kept on going for a while.
It's just some of these things. It's just like so weird yet applicable in different areas.
That's great.
Well, there was also a moment on the Missy episode where I wasn't quite making the connections, but there were all these connections kind of conspiring together between like Chris Elliott and Missy the cow it was just like, again, it was in my own mind. It became like this real madness. My God, is everything just converging in life in Cabin Boy in this minute? And
your drive to come to some sort of like fundamental truth of the universe, which you were hanging on, you were really driving at that for like the first like half.
Yeah.
And then I think halfway through, like somewhere in like the 40s, I think you gave up on that. But you were diving deep.
You were trying
to make the connections. I gotta say, the Judas Priest thing was pretty good. I like the fact that we named a whole episode.
And the fact that I saw that in, like, Billy Madison, they actually do say Judas Priest. That is an exclamation.
Yeah.
That's what Scott heard. Well, that's what it was on your closed caption, too, right?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, closed captioning being a vehicle of all sorts of entertainment.
Yeah. I mean, we certainly used every resource at our disposal to mine for something.
Squeeze as much as we could out of it.
So, and then what's the most viable idea, if any, to come out of this? Whether it's the video game, the theatrical production, sequel, call to action, product line item?
The theatrical production likely would be illegal in all 50 states.
Maybe Guam or Puerto Rico, though?
Perhaps.
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 The financial impact of that would be insane. There's nobody who would have put any money into that.
Crypto guys. Gotta find the crypto guys. The Chalky. That is the most viable idea out of all this thing.
Yeah, I mean, I don't actually think a Cabin Boy sequel will ever happen.
No.
I mean, one of my favorite calls to action is the CGI version, though. Just put all this, like, maybe once technology gets where, like, any swinging dick can do this kind of stuff, on a computer. Maybe we can do it then. But.
I mean, I think Filthy Babies still has some potential.
Or, like you said, the swim around the world thing, like as a charity event to raise money. Like, because as we've learned, the swimming records people are a bunch of scam artists. So we got to have credibility there. Yeah. And for some reason, the best product line idea I liked was the Pepto-Bismol with randomly James Gammon on it.
Just get a contract manufacturer, contact James Gavin's estate, be like, can we use his likeness just for doing a thing?
All right, so once again, final thoughts.
Jesus.
Oh, Jesus.
Oh, Jesus. It's been a hell of a ride. Great experience. Thank you both for doing this. Brian, thank you again for powering us through this, being the guiding light, being our not just our proverbial figurehead, being the captain who you so embody. And I'm super happy we did it. It's something that we can point back to and be like, we did this thing, we did this
out there for everyone.
Ridiculous fucking thing, and we have contributed to humanity. Positive, negative,
this is your legacy. Sad but true.
Yeah, thank you for bringing me in. I'm really glad that I have gotten to do this once a week for the last year and a half or so, or however long. It's been a lot of fun talking to you guys about Cabin Boy and tangents that we've gone on. It's been worth it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just been a fun overall process. I feel it was a true accomplishment. Ultimately, I do believe we have a much better, more consistent product than I ever would have dreamed we would have had at the beginning of what Rob and I had talked about. And even those first few episodes, I mean, I do think we carried through. I did think it would build a little bit more, or at some point take off a little bit more than it ever did, but I understand why it did not.
Yeah.
I will just be clear now. I would not do another minute podcast for a movie.
No?
This is the end. I'm not going to say I won't do another podcast necessarily, but I will not be doing any other movie minute podcasts.
Yeah. Yeah. No more weekly podcasts unless they're bringing in more than a penny a listen.
Yeah. But overall, as we've all said, a positive experience and truly perfect for a pandemic.
Yeah. Yes. We've created pandemic art.
Hey, everyone. Quick editor's note. As with the previous couple of minutes, we're skipping over the majority of the credits and just including a few highlights that we thought were informative or funny. We'd still like to extend our thanks to those credited in this minute, as they all contributed, in some way or another, to the creation of Cabin Boy. Except maybe the second assistant director. Yeah, the jury's still out on that guy.
All right, so in the credits here, Key Grip was Frank J. Keever. Key Grip provides camera support, equipment, and guidance for the director of photography. He was known for Point Break, Untouchables, and Under Siege. In general, the Grip department specializes in camera rigs to stabilize camera movement and achieve specific camera angles. Everything a camera attaches to, tripods, dollies, tracks, cranes. Special effects coordinator, which we actually talked about, Robert Knott. He was the guy that came up with the system for Trina swimming and Nathaniel standing on top. He was actually the 1980 nominee for the Saturn Award for Best Special Effects for the Muppet Movie, 1980s Muppet Movie. He worked on Donnie Darko and Repo Man. He grew up near Paramount Lot. His mom was the assistant to the legendary costume designer, Edith Head.
She looks like Edith Head,
right? Her name was Edith Head. As we've discussed, he died from injuries sustained in 2006 from a scuba diving incident. And then we have, this is not a typo, the second assistant director, Nunzio Fazio, which I found funny. The actor, he worked as an actor. He was in Space Jam, A New Legacy, and he worked as the Game of Thrones White Walker, uncredited.
Good for him.
Here we have the property master, the prop master. So Randy Erickson, prop master, acquires, organizes, and maintains all items that an actor uses within a film. They source props from thrift shops and prop houses. So that guy should probably get some credit. A lot of cool stuff in the background, like the fudgicle sign and basmati rice bag and all that stuff. I'm sure it was in his purview.
Yeah.
He worked on Star Trek, Iron Man, Gone Girl. There was an assistant property master, maybe who really was doing all the good stuff, Beth Holmes Sheldon. So this is the person that I'm going to blame for the seams in the background.
The seam master?
This is the head scenic artist. Kelly Deco. Their responsibility is for laying out, priming, painting, sculpting, detailing, etc. of all hard scenic items and backdrops. Worked on Pet Sematary. We have a production accountant, Jenny Fitzgibbons, who I'm going to put the onus of responsibility of making the decision not to allow the second wink, because they manage finances and maintain financial records during film production, doing the costing of productions, liaisoning with the financiers. Also worked on Limitless. She obviously didn't feel that way for this production.
Transportation coordinator, you may have heard of this guy, Eddie Flotard, a.k.a. the limo driver.
Can we get to the foam glabinator already?
Let me see if I can kind of move things along here a bit. Then we get into Tony Gardner and the crew from Alterian Studios. Tony Gardner is a guy. He's known best for his work on films such as 127 Hours, Zombieland, Double Tap, Hocus Pocus, and Bad Grandpa. He has worked with Daft Punk. He actually created their helmets. And he began his film career working on Michael Jackson's Thriller. He was actually one of the zombies shuffling along in Thriller. His work is so good that during the filming for Three Kings, there is a shot in which a bullet travels through a soldier's body. The Arizona State Police investigated him, believing that they had taken a transient's body and shot that instead of doing special effects. He was previously investigated by the FBI in L.A. when a film lab called the police after they saw some work he had done in an earlier film project.
Wow.
He's not killing people. He's just that good. Did magic when he was a kid, and he said the weirdest meeting he could recall was for Hocus Pocus. And he says it went essentially like this. Can you design a 300-year-old zombie who has his mouth stitched shut with a leather cord, gets his finger sliced off on camera, and his head knocked off and reattached a couple times? While you're at it, we also want to run over a cat with a bus and then have it reinflate on camera. And please make this all kid-friendly, since this is a Disney film. And the Floam Clavinator.
Woo! Floam Clavinator!
That is Mr. John Kalpin.
What does a Floam Clavinator do?
Please tell us.
No idea.
What?
Could not find it.
Really?
If you look up Floam Clavinator.
What about a Clavinator?
Yeah, how about this a Clavinator?
Now I looked up Floam Clavinator.
Well, I feel like if you looked up Clavinator, you could deduce what Foam Clavinator is.
Yeah, I mean, you've got to be able to clavin something else.
Working on lots of other shit, man. Didn't make it.
Arguably the most important piece of research. Clavinator. Special effects. Cabin Boy. That's the first thing that comes up. Special effects. He's the only fucking person.
I told you.
All right. Give you a pass.
Yeah, I figured I'm like, oh, okay, foam clavinator, and all it does is just come back here. It's like, what the fuck?
He's the only foam clavinator in the biz.
Yeah, I guess. One-time thing.
I would guess he cuts the foam, is what I would guess. He cut the foam for, the
to ice clave.
The Iceman.
To clave. Clave. So, clave means to bluff. Clave means to carve. Yes.
To cleave, Abraham. Yes. Archaic past of cleave. He's a cleavinator. Clave, foam, clave.
Mr. John Kalpin, on top of his clavinating duties for Cabin Boy, also did special effects and makeup for Alien vs. Predator, Hocus Pocus, Planet of the Apes, and Hellboy, among other movies. Miniature special effects were provided by Stetson Visual Services, including Robert Spurlock and Mark Stetson. Mark Stetson, he has a long and detailed page on the Visual Effects Society website. He was the chief model maker for Blade Runner. He won an Oscar for his work on Fellowship of the Rings, won a BAFTA for The Same and The Fifth Element. Still making movies. There's no mention of his work on Cabin Boy.
Oh.
His long and voluminous entry on the Visual Effects Society website.
Shame.
And at this point in the credits, we transition from Steve Bartek's fine work to In the Wee Hours by Junior Wells.
Beautiful. All right. Well, thank you very much for joining us here on Cabin Boy Minute, Minute 79. We'll see you next week on Cabin Boy Minute, Minute 80.
Adios.
Bye-bye.
Thank you again for joining us on Cabin Boy Minute. Please help spread the word, tell your friends about us, and rate and subscribe on your podcast medium of choice. Check out our episode notes where you can find calls to action, details on how to support the pod, or leave us a message. Or find us on Twitter at Cabin Boy Minute. We look forward to joining you again next week. Bon voyage!
Do 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 do